The Blitz. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston. A Gau Media station. If you're not down with that, we got two words for you. Are you ready? Hey, think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on The Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz. Click like. You're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Jon Snow with a zero, not an O, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show, 713-780-3776. And if you're just joining us, welcome. We'll get you home. Phone lines are open. Just call. Just having a little fun today. You said, I've been listening to you guys for 2 years. I don't think I've ever heard you mention golf. Do you not like golf?
No.
Not really. But you know what? I will do your Masters update for you. We're currently tied for the lead at 4 under par. Charlie Hoffman, AJ's brother. Unfortunately, he shot a 75 today, so he's tied now with Sergio Garcia, or as I like to call him, Third Gio, Thomas Peters, Ricky Fowler, and one shot back, Phil Mickelson. Fred Couples is 2 under par today.
Okay.
He's a very old man. In fact, he's now 3 under. Do you know who has had the most under par rounds by men over 50 years old at the Masters?
No.
Jack Nicklaus leads with 14. Fred Couples has a chance to get to 12 today. He would be number 2.
Okay.
That according to ESPN Stats and Info, just tweeted out recently. I still think it's better to do it in redneck voice, but that's your Masters update. The Masters, a tradition like no other. Morris says, hey, Fred, I remember when you kept saying react to me. Where did you get that from? I thought that was hilarious. That wasn't me. I don't think I've ever used that phrase. In fact, I know I've never used that phrase, so.
Damn. Hmm. But it was super funny.
Yeah. I hate that.
You wish you could take if only you could take credit for it.
Oh, well. Hey, I'm going to do sports here or non-sports. I have a non-sports thing I'd like to get to, but there's plenty of sports too.
All right.
I'll let you choose. So which one is it?
Oh, I thought you were going to give me like actual stories.
No. Do you want to do sports or do you want to do non-sports?
What have we done so far today? We've talked about video games.
Astros.
Talk some Astros.
I had a football question.
Let's go with sports for now.
Okay. We talked UFC in the first hour too. So
it's true.
All right, I'll say my non-sports story. I have a list of all the release dates for all the major movies that are coming out over the next few months. So I want to go through and see on your level of excitement scale what some of these are. So we'll save that for 6 o'clock.
Okay.
Bad news on the Colin McHugh front. He had to leave early in his Class AAA game last night. So if you're expecting him to get back soon, maybe not so good, huh?
No.
So, is there anything left to be determined in the NBA? I guess
a couple seeding things, but not much. Not a whole lot.
I mean, everybody's all but locked in now, right? I mean,
it's just matchups. I think, and the 8 seed in the West.
Yeah.
Is still TBD. But, yeah, for the most part, things for teams that matter are basically locked up.
Yeah, I think the Celtics probably aren't going to get...
I guess the 8 seed in the East is not determined yet either. The Heat could still jump in there. Yeah. So the Heat, Bulls, and Pacers seem to be battling for that last spot. So I wouldn't count them out yet.
Lakers got a win, which hurts their draft.
Yeah, that was dumb.
Yeah, you're not supposed to be out there winning. They just don't have this tanking
thing
down.
They've won 2 in a row.
Yeah. That's not how you tank.
Yeah. Although Brooklyn, I mean, I guess Brooklyn felt like they were safe to actually start trying. They've won 6 out of their last 10, which has moved them all the way up to 19 wins. But they were so far clear of Phoenix and the Lakers that they must have felt like they could go ahead and play some ball for a little while.
Lauren sent this story. I have it on my list to get to, about a girl found living among monkeys in an Indian forest. So,
what?
Yeah, I have it for later.
Is it like the Jungle Book?
Similar. Nick, what's the story? You guys going to hit on the bombing today? I have mixed emotions about this. I don't think we should be. I really am not a fan of us being involved in any military stuff right now. I think we should be. I'm getting more and more isolationist. But on the other hand, I kind of think it was the right thing to do.
Why?
Chemical weapons, man. You can't be doing that.
Yeah, it's a shame that there's no place that those young Syrian kids could have gone that they could have gotten away from their corrupt government that was planning to hurt them. Yeah, I mean, if only there was a country willing to open their arms and take those kids in, right? Oh, wait. Yeah. I mean, I'm a big believer in stay out of other people's business, but it's funny that this is a war that Donald Trump, on at least Twitter, Donald Trump was so against. Don't you dare go into. And I also don't like the idea of not getting congressional, not going through the proper
right,
channels.
Right, but that's become commonplace now with all these guys. I'm not a fan of that either. But
you don't just go bombing places without clearing it through a few people.
In theory, so. But I mean, that's everybody's done it. Every one of those guys now.
Which one of them? Who's bombed new places without?
Oh, you don't think drone strikes count as bombing?
I mean, if you're talking in places where we're already at war, that's a different conversation.
No, there were a lot that under the Obama regime that weren't in countries that we were in.
Like where?
I'll point you to the. I'll point you again to that CIA thing that I told you about before that you really need to watch about the former CIA heads.
Okay.
Where they divulge a bunch of the things that they did that was really, really wrong. So,
well, I don't doubt it. I mean, it's a bummer that our government is what it is.
In my world, we're not anywhere. You let those people fight it out. You let them kill themselves. I don't care. Bring everybody home. Protect the U.S. Screw everybody else. That's me. But I'm in the minority on that. A lot of people like. Yeah, it's good business in war.
Yeah.
So.
For the people involved in it. Not for us.
No, not for us. But. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. 717 says, late heading home today. Did you guys talk about the girl that UFC fight got canceled because of her implants? We did. I think we did that at 4:15.
Yeah.
So.
Of the potential first round matchups, which one interests you the most? Or at least like the ones that look like in the Western Conference, it's all but set except for the 8 seed. I don't think that we're going to see much. I guess the Clippers and Jazz, it's a matter of who's going to get home court. But I don't think you're going to see much movement 1 through 7. But and so let's assume it's Portland, who I think is a better team than Denver. What matchup in the West interests you?
I think 3-7 is going to be really interesting now that the Grizzlies are in that. 7 spot.
2-7 or because 2-7 and
3-6. Yeah, I'm sorry, 3-6. 2-7. I think the Spurs are going to get more than they want out of the Grizzlies.
Okay. Oh, the Grizzlies are playing like garbage lately.
They are, and they're ugly to watch. And the Spurs are going to win, but that's just a team that I don't want to play in the playoffs. That style seems to grind you down. I think Rockets-Thunder will be fun. I don't think Warriors anything is going to be interesting. And Jazz Clippers just, well, I think the Jazz are an interesting team. They don't appeal to me. I'm just not real interested in that one.
I'm really hopeful for Wizards Bucks in round one. That would be a fun series to watch.
That would be a good one.
It's not lined up just yet. The Raptors are currently holding a tiebreaker over the Wizards, but the 3 seed is going to play the 6 seed Bucks. Well, although I guess, I mean, technically, the Bucks could pass Atlanta, but I just hope that that Wizards-Bucks matchup pans out, because that'd be a fun game to watch. And that's two teams that I think are kind of the future in the Eastern Conference. I mean, obviously, besides LeBron James. But I think that'd be the fun one to watch. And then, I think Spurs-Grizzlies would be a somewhat competitive. I mean, there'd be competitive games. I think the Grizzlies wouldn't win more than a game. But I think it'd be there'd be some rough basketball play. That'd be interesting. And I think Jazz-Clippers could be fun.
Yeah. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776 is your number if you want to get in. Be happy to take some phone calls. And so you're going to watch the Masters this weekend? No, probably not. Is Tiger playing?
No.
I don't care. Is Tiger in the lead?
No. If he's not playing, how can he possibly be in the lead?
Okay. Well, I'll pass then. Maybe if Fred Couples is in the lead at age 72, turning
if there's
home.
A playoff between Fred Couples and Charlie Hoffman, I'll watch just to see which one of us reigns supreme. Which one of our bloodlines reigns supreme.
Yeah.
The Fred bloodline or the Hoffman bloodline?
Fred's the Fred bloodline.
That's right.
Yeah, he's a big-time UH guy. Joe says, who gets in the Hall of Fame first, Romo or Andre Johnson? That's actually a very good question.
How about neither?
Yeah, I don't think either guy gets in. I think if Romo had played one more year and at least got to a conference championship game or something, maybe.
I think it would have taken a Super Bowl for Romo to get in.
At least get to the Super Bowl, maybe.
But yeah, I don't think either one of those guys are Hall of Famers.
I would say Romo would be more likely because he played for the Cowboys, so he's a lot more high profile.
That helps. All right, kids, I'm going to give you the solution, the Allied Outdoor solution. If you if you've noticed, we've had good weather lately, finally, and I think we're going to, knock on wood, or whatever this table's made of, we're going to have good weather on a weekend, and you're going to want to be outside on the patio or out on the pool deck. And if you've got a grayed out patio or a faded pool deck, you're not going to want to be out there. That's why you need to go with Carvestone. It gives you the superior look of real stone on your existing surface for way less money than tearing everything out and starting over. It's trial, hand-carved, custom-colored for your home, so it looks great. Twice as strong as concrete, and Allied stands behind Carvestone with a 7-year warranty. Currently a blank slate in the backyard, Allied will build it from the ground up, whether you want a functional concrete patio or you want an outdoor kitchen and a patio cover and all the big boy stuff. They can do it all, residential and commercial projects. They offer 0% financing for up to 18 months, and their Best Picks report certified each of the last 4 years. Save yourself the hassle and expense of tearing everything out and starting over. Go with a carved stone overlay to get the look and feel of real stone for less from Allied Outdoor Solutions. Stop by the showroom, I-10 in the Beltway, or check out the Carved Stone Projects photo gallery at AlliedOutdoorSolutions.com. That's AlliedOutdoorSolutions.com, or call for a risk-free estimate, 713-465-0400 for Allied Outdoor Solutions.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Listen to your favorite ESPN 97.5 show on the go with the ESPN 97.5 app for iOS or Android. Now back to The Blitz with Fred and AJ.
And we are back on The Blitz. So a bunch of people asked me what the name of that documentary was. It's called The Spy Master, CIA and the Crosshairs. It was on Showtime. I think it's on Netflix. I think you can watch it online. I highly recommend it.
All right.
All 12 of the living CIA directors were interviewed for it. And they very candidly discussed a lot of things and some very disturbing things that our government was doing too. So I highly recommend that if you're interested in educating yourself a little bit on the workings of the CIA. So 713-780-ESPN. Mr. Morris asked, with all the Richard Sherman trade talk, do you think the Texans or Packers have a shot at him? I know he wants to go to a contender. And the Texans have so much money tied up in that secondary now.
It's not feasible for them.
Yeah, I don't really see it. I'd have to look at the Packers cap situation a little closer. So 325 asks, in retrospect, do you think the Texans made a mistake not trading for Romo and letting him weigh his options? No, because I think he weighed his options. I don't think it would have been any different. He would have just retired.
Yeah.
So, I know it was such a topic for so long that people kind of want to find ways to, wow, how could this have gone different? And create conspiracies and things like that. And it just played out the way it was going to play out. It just didn't play out the way Texans fan hoped it would play out.
Exactly.
Except for the ones who are now saying, oh, no, I wanted Tom Savage all along. Good luck with that. We'll see how it plays out. Now we just have to wait until they actually get a quarterback or they draft one or whatever. I think it's he'll do a good job. You're out of your minds if you think Dre isn't a Hall of Famer.
Okay.
No, I'm perfectly within my mind. But we've been through this many, many times. Yeah.
And you know what the easy solution to figure out why that guy said that? Who's your favorite team?
Right.
Yeah. If you're a Texans fan, you probably do think he's a Hall of Famer. The reality is he's probably not.
Because you have to look at it, not in the terms of, oh, this is what he did for the Texans. You have to look at it, where does he match up with everyone else who's in the Hall of Fame, who's getting in the Hall of Fame. If T.O. can't get in.
T.O. can't get in.
Yeah. T.O. got to a Super Bowl. So if T.O. can't get in with completely better numbers, and I think he will eventually.
And T.O.'s world's better than Andre Johnson.
Yeah, it's not even.
Andre Johnson's good, but he was never T.O. level, never,
No.
An all-time, one of the greatest ever. T.O.'s one of the two or three greatest receivers that's ever played, and he's not in.
Yeah. And the guys you have to compare him to are like Isaac Bruce and people like that, Reggie Wayne.
Except the difference is those guys have rings and Andre doesn't.
Yeah, and that's a big part of it.
And they all scored more touchdowns than him.
And that's the kind of thing that'll get held against him. So.
And guess what? When you say, yeah, but he didn't have a great quarterback, they don't care. Just put up numbers. I think it's interesting. It's funny to me, the guy over the last 7-8 years who's been the best receiver in the league, I don't know if he's a Hall of Famer, Calvin Johnson.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know that he...
Because he walked away maybe too soon to be a Hall of Famer. He's sort of the Earl Campbell situation. And, I mean, from a talent perspective, I mean, he's a freak show. He's one of the best I've ever seen. But I don't know if he played long enough.
Yeah.
I would put Calvin Johnson in before I put Andre Johnson in.
Yeah, I would too. But I don't know that either of them did, though. 713 says he's a Houston great. That's it. Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it. In the pantheon of the Texans, he's one or two in greatest Texan. Not even close.
Yeah.
There's no other discussion that you had on who's the greatest Texan between him and JJ. That's it.
That's the only guys you can discuss.
But in Houston football history, that list gets a little longer.
Right.
So, 713-780-ESPN. So, who do you think will be the quarterback for the Texans week one?
Tom Savage. At this point, that'd be my best guess.
I think if that's the case, well, it'll be real interesting around here if that's the case. But, I kind of think that's what's going to happen.
That's the betting favorite, right?
Yeah.
Because he's on the team. They clearly like him more than Whedon, and I'm not even really sure why of that.
Yeah, I almost would rather see Brandon Whedon out there.
He's more experienced.
More experienced. Looked pretty good the one time he played for him.
Mm. But, yeah, I'd say that's the leader.
God, that's depressing.
I mean, I guess I'd probably make the second favorite Brandon Whedon, because chances are good Tom Savage gets hurt during training camp or preseason.
Yeah.
And then whatever rookie, maybe the third favorite, and then Jay Cutler, Colin Kaepernick, fourth favorite.
That's so depressing.
Yeah.
That is so depressing.
It really
depressing.
Is crazy that this is the football market that we live in, where that's, yeah. I mean, this is the kind of discussions we're having. No, there's... I mean, maybe only Cleveland is like, what are we going to do? But Cleveland's got the first pick in the draft.
Yeah. There's at least some hope there if they want to take one of those guys. And if not, then they're going to be right there again next year.
And they've got like the 12th pick in the draft too. They're going to be okay.
Yeah.
But it's so weird for a team that, I mean, is really pretty good to be, I don't know who's going to be the quarterback. I have no idea because they don't have any good options. It's depressing.
Yeah. Soccer Bilal says, can the Texans just retire Andre Johnson's number and call it a day?
I mean, I'm sure they will.
Yeah, at some point. The can he make the Texas Football Hall of Fame? Do we have a Texas Football Hall of Fame?
I'm sure.
We have a Texas Sports Hall of Fame. I know that.
Yeah, he'll make that.
Should. But, yeah, let's squeeze in a phone call.
I just don't think he's an all-time NFL legendary great.
No.
I think he's just a really good player. And around here, he was as good as it got. So we were kind of, we were maybe fooled a little bit into what he really was. I mean, I don't believe that, though, either, because I really do think he was really, really good.
He was a really good number one receiver for a long time.
But just not everybody's number one receiver gets into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. Let's go to Chris.
Hey, sports.
Sports to you.
Hey, I was wondering what you guys take on the idea of Texas giving RG3 a chance, or even somebody like Jamal Charles. They probably could get him for a lot, a real cheap price. Why wouldn't you think you're somebody like that today?
Well, RG3 is not he's done. RG3 can't stay healthy. He's not a good NFL quarterback. Jamal Charles is interesting, except kind of like when someone asked about Adrian Peterson the other day, it's just a position that's like the one position where the Texans probably feel really strong about the guy they've got there. That's the one position they're not looking to upgrade.
Yeah, they could use another guy.
Of course they could. But I mean, yeah. Would I rather see Jamal Charles come in to spell Lamar Miller than Alfred Blue? Certainly. I've said since Alfred Blue got here, he's literally just a body. But, I mean, are you willing to commit money to that spot? I don't know what Jamal Charles would come play for. I don't know what Adrian Peterson would come play for. I'm guessing if it was the veteran minimum, somebody would have already signed them.
Yeah, probably so. But, yeah, we've gone through every possible quarterback for the Texans. And any name that comes up is not a good option at this stage. The only saving grace, the only thing I think could salvage this is, and it probably won't work, but you at least have a chance, is trade for one of those three backups that we've mentioned many times, whether it's McCarron or Garoppolo or Brett Hundley, and give them a try and hope you got something.
Yeah.
And if you do that, you'll at least have some hope going into the season. Maybe this can be the guy. And then we'll know about week three that he's not. And at least you get to week three, right?
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Let's try Patrick.
Hey, sports guys.
Sports to you.
Hey, I agree with you on Andre Johnson. I don't think he's a Hall of Famer, but he was a very, very good player. What I wonder is if he was drafted by the Colts and spent most of his career with Peyton Manning and had a couple rings and probably had better numbers, did he have the talent to be a Hall of Famer?
Absolutely. He just didn't have a Hall of Fame career. Was he talented enough? Of course. But part of getting in the Hall of Fame, it's about what situation you're put in.
Yeah.
I mean, unless you're just a next-level player, and I say that because I think of guys like T.O. and Randy Moss who bounced around to a bunch of different teams. Those guys, it didn't matter who was throwing. Those guys were better than everybody. So it didn't really matter who was throwing them the ball, who was on the offensive line, what kind of defense they had. They were better than everybody else, so it didn't really matter. But, I mean, if Julio Jones had been drafted by the Cleveland Browns, do I think we'd be looking at him as the best receiver in the league? Probably not. I mean, that's just and it wouldn't take anything away from what Julio Jones is. Sometimes the situation you're put in plays into your legacy.
And it wasn't his entire career that he didn't have somebody throwing him the ball. Matt Schaub had some
led the league
years.
In passing yards one year.
So, and the one thing that it was always his inability to get in the end zone that I think in the end that's going to be the thing that finally, when they look at that number, they're going to go, that's not a Hall of Fame number.
Yep.
All right, quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Hello!
To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.
And we are back on the Blitz. You know what stairway means? It's time for RJ Bell. Follow him on Twitter at RJ in Vegas. If you're not following RJ on Twitter, you're just missing out on all kinds of great stuff. Founder of pregame.com, one of our favorite guys, always the best segment of the week. The gambling guru of the world, RJ Bell. What's up, buddy?
So let me think about this. I'm one of your favorite guys, but always the best segment, which means I'm much better as a radio guy than as a person.
Pretty much, yeah. That's what I was
saying. Okay, I accept it. I agree. Hey,
you don't get paid for being a nice guy, bro.
That's the truth.
So, hey, we haven't had a chance to talk to you since the Raiders thing was announced. What's the vibe there? Are people pretty excited, or is it like, well, it's going to be 3 years? What's kind of been the chatter there?
I think it's surprisingly enthusiastic. And when I say surprising, here's why. This is a town that in many ways, Las Vegas, we've seen it all. We've done it all. Kind of jaded, right? I mean, imagine even cities with many more people, across the country. Think about the number of events that we have and, you know, the food and the shows and, people getting married and, you know, Michael Jackson coming here to get away from the paparazzi. And, you know, it's just, and it's cool, right? Living here, there's a cool element to it. But it also makes you not get excited about things that another city might get excited by. This is different. And, you know, I think the best analogy is Vegas locals feel like the friend you invite to the bachelor party, but you don't get invited to the wedding. It's like, yeah, this is a great city, a fun city, but, you know, we don't want to necessarily, as the NFL, accept you, or Major League Baseball accept you up and down the line. Now, if you look at the NHL, and now the king of all sports in America right now, the NFL, it's an opportunity to step up as a first-tier city in the country. And I think people love that idea. And, you know, I've been in Vegas since 98, so literally, it's going to be 20 years in January. And, the city's grown a lot since I've been here. But there's always this sense of the, you know, the crazy friend. And this is kind of getting up to that next tier, which I'm personally excited about, not only for, and I think there's two other topics that we can talk about. One is the economic impact in Vegas. And number two is the sports betting impact. And I hope we get to those. But when it comes to the city's enthusiasm, quite high.
Yeah, I'll tell you what else we should throw in there is building a new stadium. You're going to have a Super Bowl there. And I can't think of a better place for a Super Bowl.
Yeah, and I think that segues really well into the sports betting angle, because I think it's super important to understand the following. The NFL had its maximum leverage over the state, over the city, before agreeing to the move. So the NFL could have very easily done the following. Okay, Nevada, we're going to let this vote happen. Wink, wink. We think it's, you know, we're pretty optimistic it's going to be a yes. But you need to make a commitment right now formally that you will take the Raiders off the board, either when they're home or, you know, all the games or some variation. They could have done that. And now I'm not sure what Nevada would have done, but here's what I know for sure. Now that the vote has happened, there's no leverage. I mean, imagine the hypothetical, you know, 3 months before the first game, someone asks, you know, the commissioner at a press conference, hey, what about gambling on the Raiders? And he says, you know, I really hope that Nevada decides that they want to, you know, minimize the chance of any potential scandal and make, take the Raiders off the board. So Nevada would respond and say, you know, we've considered your request, but no, thank you. Now what? Right? You're not going to stop the Raiders' move. There's no leverage. So in a weird way, I think this is the NFL saying, listen, when we do have leverage, we're not going to make this an issue. Down the road, we may make it an issue in a perfunctory sense for PR, but just effectively at a fundamental level, we're okay with gambling on an NFL team that plays in Las Vegas. And to me, that is a humongous win. Yes, in general, the taboo of Vegas is going to be lowered no matter what. And to me, that's a wonderful thing. But I think the idea of, oh, the Raiders live there, we better take them off the board. Well, what's the implication of that? Which is the more regulation, legalization of sports betting you have, the better chance, increased chance of corruption. And you guys know how strongly I feel about this. It's the opposite. As in, the more regulation, just imagine a party, and there's one party where there's five cops. It's a big party, and there's five cops, and there's another scenario where there's the same size party with no cops. Well, where do you think's the trouble going to start? There might be some trouble at both, but if I had to go to one and I didn't want to get punched, I'd go to the one with the cops, right? If I wanted to do the punching, I'd go to the other one. Well, legalized gambling, Vegas in this case is watching every bet that comes in. And I can promise you, when there's a game that gets unusual betting action, the guys who spend their lives watching that screen get a feel for it. And if you go back in history, the last 20 years at the major point shaving scandals that's been uncovered, many times Vegas has been part of it, notifying the authorities something is fishy. So I think the idea that this is going to feed into the concept that legalization equals less corruption because the Raiders aren't going to be off the board, or at minimum, the absence of this sense that they should be off the board, I think is a big win for the industry.
RJ Bell, our guest, that was such a good analogy about the cops, because I've been trying to tell people that for years, and I know of even a couple of college ones that came out of Vegas. They recognized the pattern and reported it to colleges, and that's how they tracked the stuff down.
I didn't mean to interrupt, but one of the great stories is the Arizona State scandal, college basketball in the mid-90s. The guy, a friend of pre-games here in town, Jimmy Vaccaro, a longtime bookmaker, been here since the late 70s, a Pittsburgh guy, grew up in the same area I did. And Jimmy was the head of the Mirage Sportsbook in the 90s. And Steve Wynn owned the Mirage at that point. And he was a big fan of just letting his VPs do their thing. So Jimmy was the only bookmaker in Las Vegas to have odds on the Buster Douglas Tyson fight. So all the talk of, you know, the upset, the 40-1 and all that, there was one guy with odds on that. And so right around that time, a guy came in with a suitcase. This is not metaphorical, literally a suitcase full of money, and said, Arizona State, what's that +6 mean against their opponent? Whoever the opponent was, I can't remember. They go, that means they're getting 6 points. He goes, okay, how much can I bet on that team? They said, you know, whatever, let's say 20,000. Pulls out 20,000 from the suitcase, bets it. Line moves to 5, like skips a whole half point. And he says, all right, can I bet it again? He said, yeah, how much? 20,000. So he kept betting until Jimmy didn't want anymore, kept moving the line. And then he said, hey, do you guys want a free buffet? That sounds good, doesn't it? And they go, yeah, that sounds good. So he got the guy's driver's license, but he was asking him for the buffet to get the information, reported the information, and literally that drove the investigation that uncovered it. Now, obviously, that was kind of a, you know, very unsophisticated game fixer, but oftentimes they are. Because if you are sophisticated and you have an option to bet legally or illegally, I can promise you you're going to bet illegally, because no matter if it looks funny or not, who in the heck is someone in Costa Rica going to report it to?
Yeah, one other thing on this, because the NFL, they kind of came out and said, well, we still have this stance against gambling. But we've talked about what Adam Silver said before, but it looks like Rob Manfred's kind of coming around a little bit too. Is that another good sign finally?
Absolutely. And, you know, I actually, up on our YouTube channel, it's Pregame TV, I did a TV hit with Colin Cowherd. I was debating last week. You know, we had a disagreement. He, you know, his feeling was, well, the NFL has been pretty reasonable. And to me, I felt like they've been hypocritical. Now, listen, if you can get away with hypocrisy as a businessman, as a business, you'd be foolish not to, right? Imagine if you could make money and also rise above something that's gray, all the better. And that's what the NFL has done. right? This isn't about virtue. No one expects Goodell to be virtuous, or any CEO. The question is following the law, and it's also, you know, doing right by, you know, your customers, whoever, you know, your stakeholders are, right? That's kind of business 101. And to me, I feel like the NFL has done a wonderful job from their perspective of saying, hey, we'll sit back. And you know what it's like? It's like a drug companies in OxyContin, right? Drug companies aren't selling OxyContin to an addict in Kentucky directly, right? Either the doctor's doing something gray where he's just writing a bunch of prescriptions, right?
Right.
Or somehow someone's getting prescriptions, selling it to the street guy, and the street guy's selling it. But isn't it great for, you know, and I'm not, OxyContin's obviously a very known opioid. It's not like it's the only one, but it's like, if you're the drug company, now again, this is life and death, so you've got to say, well, what's the ethics on that? Let's set that aside for a minute. If all you care about is the bottom line and you're the pharmaceutical company, isn't it the perfect storm to say, we want nothing less than, you know, illegal use of our drugs? We spend billions and heart and soul into creating drugs that will ease people's pain, you know. And again, obviously there's some truth to that and probably some hypocrisy if something like that was said. But they know where it's getting sold, and they keep making all that money, and they have the best of both worlds. They can be sanctimonious, but the money keeps pouring in. The NFL was the same way. And obviously, you know, less severe if it's not life and death. But we hate gambling. You can't even have a Vegas commercial. But we know that, I don't know, is it 15%, 20%, 25%? What's the incremental increase in NFL interest because of sports betting? If you could snap your fingers and eliminate every element of sports betting, every iota, how much interest would wane in the NFL? I mean, what do you guys think?
If you take away sports betting and fantasy football, it's over half of the interest is gone, I would guess.
And let's split it up and say gambling's half and fantasy's half. So it's 25%. So look how great it is that the NFL has been able to benefit from that 25% by being sanctimonious. But here's the thing. The sanctimony's starting to be a little laughable. Right, everyone's looking around saying, seriously, you're still this staunch? And the NFL is smart enough to realize, wait a minute, over in Europe, and here in 3 years, you guys are going to, unless, you know, you guys might be on some big national show, and I'll be hoping to get on, but is 3 years from now, I'll tell you this, and you're going to say, wow, RJ, you were right on this one. The way things are moving is in-game, and it's a second-screen experience, but it's actually tied in to the broadcast. So imagine, and this is what they do in Europe. This is not some great visionary idea on my part. This is what happens in soccer. You're watching the game on TV, the soccer match, and the odds are right there. And they're changing after every play, or in soccer, it's not every play, but, you know, they're changing every minute or whatever. This team's plus 200. Oh, they just scored a goal. Now it's even money. Oh, the other team's got the ball. It's now minus 130. It's just moving. And you can at any time click two buttons and bet $30, $20, or $500. Obviously, the NFL is thinking, wait a minute, one day, maybe it's 10 years from now, is we're getting, you know, a third of that win, because we're letting that as be part of our broadcast. And so finally, the hypocrisy is getting, you know, more obvious, combined with the fact there's probably more money to be made by embracing it, whereas before they could make the money without embracing it, and thus here we are.
RJ, let the people know what all you got going on and how they can – I know you've got the podcast, you got your own show there, you got pregame. Tell the people about it, because we always have new listeners.
Yeah, so we've got an ESPN show in the family here in Las Vegas, 1 hour a day. It's the first local show, and that podcast goes up immediately. We do videos. In fact, we got a video tonight coming out on an NBA game, and we do podcasts. And, you know, in the forums, I think is the key, is all the free picks. And what I love is the specialists. Like when we talk NFL, I love to hear your thoughts on the Texans, because you guys are on the ground. And I think even professional bettors don't have that level of insight, especially considering you guys are sharp guys. So you combine the sharpness with being local – And that's what's great about an online community. You got people from Houston, San Diego, go up and down the list. And they've all watched their, you know, we've got one guy in the Midwest. He only plays like Missouri and Southwest Missouri. There's like four schools in his state, and he'll either play on or against them. And it's just amazing results. And yeah, listen, there's no short things, but it's a winning approach, is specialization. And that's one of the things we focus on with the online community.
All right, great stuff as always, RJ, and I look forward to doing it again next week, man.
Hey, my pleasure, guys. Have a good weekend.
All right, RJ Bell, pregame.com. That is always such a great segment. Man. Yeah. Quick break. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back. Nexen Tire is leading in warranty in the tire industry. Nexen has exclusive free roadside assistance. Have a flat tire? Nexen will change your tire or two on your vehicle for free. Nexen has the fastest growing tire brand trusted by automotive manufacturers. Check out Nexen Tire at NexenTireUSA.com. Do I have to give this away, John? Because I need four tires.
What's wrong with your tires?
I go through my tires like
yeah. They need to be replaced. They're 5 years old now. Somebody's going to win a gift certificate. Okay, so don't be the 20th caller. Because if you're the 20th caller,
it's a great deal.
This is a hell of a deal. This is one of the better things that we've given away. A gift certificate for an entire new set of Nexen tires. That's four tires. Nexen is the fastest growing tire company trusted by automobile manufacturers. Nexen Tires offers the industry's leading warranty. All tires come with free road hazard protection and free roadside tire change and tow service. Log on to NexenTireUSA.com and find a Nexen Tire dealer near you. Caller 20. Four tires. That's one of the best things we've given away. Ever.
Ever, ever.
That better go to somebody cool, not a dickweed. All right.
Chances are good, though.
Yeah, well, no, 95% chance it'll be a good person, 5% chance it'll be a dickweed. Let's squeeze in a couple calls. I'll save the gym of the day because it's getting kind of late in the segment. Go to Paul. What's up, Paul?
Hey, sports guys.
Sports.
Go.
I really appreciate what you guys do and the RJ Bell segment. Oh, my God, that really helps an amateur guy like me. Better against my friends. That information gives me great knowledge. I appreciate it. Did you guys happen to see the Alex Del Barrio article on CBS Houston?
No.
He wrote the most accurate article about why would any QB play for Houston. And I just want to point you in that direction. Read it. It's like the most accurate State of the Union I've ever read, and especially from one of those guys on that Loop radio station.
Yeah, I don't read any other stuff. Sorry.
So, I don't even know who Alex is.
I don't even know who that is. So,
He's on 610?
I guess so, yeah. But
I've never heard of him.
Thanks for the call, though. Let's try Eric.
I'm not saying I won't read it.
If it's good, yeah, but... I it's not like I make a habit of going and looking at their website to see what they're writing about, so I'll take a look. What's up, Eric?
Hey, sports guys.
Sports to you, sir.
Hey, I heard you say earlier that a player's legacy, wrong or right, has a lot to do with the opportunities that they're given. A player that comes to mind.
Not so much
Tebow.
The opportunity, but the situation that they're put in.
Yeah, well, I mean, situation, opportunity, you know, apples to okay. Apples. A player that comes to mind is Tim Tebow, and the reason why I say that is because the Texans win games based off our defense and our ability to run the ball. We have never had an offensive line. Why not get a player that's big, robust, for the minimum, who's willing to play and is not going to get hurt?
Is this really a
Tim Tebow's got a job?
Is this really a Tebow call? Did we just really get a Tebow call?
Tim Tebow, it's been proven, cannot play in the NFL.
Yeah, go away. Did you really think that was an original, awesome idea, or were you just trolling? I'm gonna go. Both those were trolls. So guess what? We're no more calls.
Hey, I don't know. Do we have time to get into another? This is probably longer than just a minute or two conversation. But I want to talk about what LeVar Ball said yesterday, or maybe it was this morning.
I was going to try to do it without mentioning his name.
Okay,
because I don't want to give him any run because that's what he wants.
But I want to get into that a little bit on the other side, and I really think it's going to be difficult for teams, and because I already know it's difficult for fans. And it's difficult. I think it's going to be difficult for Naismith voters too to differentiate between LeVar, like to separate LeVar and Lonzo Ball when they're making their decisions. And I think that's a really horrible thing.
I don't disagree with you. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Don't go anywhere. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.